Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time to get up. Saturday morning, Lou Manfredini is standing by.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
First time caller, long time listener.
It is time to start the day.
How do you clean a wooden kitchen floor?
And Lou's here to hold your hand and walk you through it.
Latex silicone or siliconized latex?
Together, we can change the world.
And if that doesn't work, at least he has your leaky faucets and drafty windows covered.
Here he is now, your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Last night I had a dream that the world was changing, changing by leaps and bounds.
Good morning.
It started up in the bigger city.
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Phone number is 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. You pick up the phone. Let me know what's going on in and around your home that I can help you with this morning. We're happy to do that all morning long here on House Smarts Radio. Good morning to Lindsay. Good morning to Don. Good morning to Andy. How are we all doing this morning?
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Lou.
Doing great, man. How are you?
Morning, Lou.
Doing great. I have a little bit of a. I had a little bit of one of those old man moments the other day.
Oh.
I ran into a guy and he recognized me. And he said, "Hey, you're Lou Manfredini." I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, man, I used to listen to you with my dad when I was growing up." Now, I looked at the guy.
Good God.
And he wasn't like a child, you know, and I'm thinking, ooh, I'm old, right? He was probably, so I've been on the radio for over 25 years, so this guy was maybe 35, I'm going to guess. So he was 10, you know, like
right.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now, I suppose I'm going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, that's
only
the
way to take
way
it.
To do it. Yeah.
Only way
Don,
to take it.
Don. Yeah, take it. Andy's got my back. Yeah, yeah, right? I'm going, yeah. Okay. So pretty soon, you know, when I was a kid. I'm like, okay, all right. I'll go with it.
Yeah, it's better. You know what? I mean, I suppose that's better than like, you know.
I didn't listen to you.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, hey, my dad listens to you all the time or something.
Right.
You know, like something like
right.
that.
Or, hey, well, you're Lou Manfredini and he spits on your shoe.
Exactly. Well, and that I had that happen before, too,
oh,
as well.
Man.
No, I have not. But anyway, it was a moment there where I thought, well, okay, so time is going by. But I guess when you do this for a long time, then those kinds of things happen. So anyway, I appreciate the comment. And I do like the other comment that I get sometimes, like, well, my mom listens to you all the time, and then she told me to call. I go, okay, well, now you have to call, right? Or now you have to listen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
I'm happy to help you this morning, but now you just need to, you know, keep listening. We always want more listeners.
Right. You get one freebie from your mother directing me to
right.
you, but otherwise it's got to come from you.
You know, and how radio is evolving. Obviously, the proliferance of all these podcasts that are out there, and I listen to podcasts just like everybody else does, but really, when you listen to these podcasts, they're like radio shows now because they have commercials in them, just like we have here when we do live radio.
Totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's so many of them. How do you even know? We're trying to make it easy on people. You just have to, you know, early in the morning, just turn on the radio and we're right here for you. You don't have to think about what do I search, what's it called, whatever.
Right,
type of thing. Right.
Yeah, it's nice that way. And you're right. I mean, it's been a major change with podcasts over the last few years. They are ad heavy now, I would say. A lot of the ones I hear.
Totally. And completely oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're a huge star, like there was just the recent story that Conan O'Brien, you know, finished his run on late night. He's done on
right.
doing television.
Mm-hmm.
He has a terrific podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
But he's Conan O'Brien.
Yes, totally,
right. So,
totally.
And I believe he's got something like a million downloads, you know, a week. So I mean, you know, then if you're State Farm, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So yeah, it is fun. It is fun. Anyway, well, we're going to have some fun this morning too. 877-213-4-LOU 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get things started this morning. Jim, who's calling in from Brunswick. Hey, Jim. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Last week I called up about the toilet, and you gave me all the instructions. Everything worked out great, It's a cold toilet. The only problem is, I mean, the tank fills up, everything is good, nice and quiet, but in the bowl, there's not enough water.
Oh, did you buy a 1.3 toilet? Do you remember?
Well, I don't know, but she did. And it looks funny, the bowl. It's a cold bowl.
It's a cold bowl.
Right.
Let me ask you this. When you take the lid off, there's an overflow tube that is connected to the flapper, you know, that goes up and down?
Right.
Is that tube really short?
Let me see. I'm going right now.
All right. If it's, in other words, when you take the lid off, that little overflow tube, if it looks kind of stubby and the water line goes into that, but the bowl itself would hold more water if that pipe was taller.
Mm.
Are you looking right now?
Oh, I got it.
Oh, here we go.
Well, right now the tank is filled up.
Right.
There's two pieces there, nice and clean, nice and quiet.
Right, but you see the overflow tube? There's like a little tube that the flapper that goes up and down is connected to it.
Right.
Okay, and the water's right at the top of that.
Yes.
But how much room do you have from the top of that pipe to the top of the tank? Like 4 or 5 inches or 3 inches?
Yes. Okay. I'll say 2.5, 3.
Okay. So this is what you have. You have an ultra low flush toilet. And the reason you don't have enough water is that little pipe is too short. Now, let me ask you this. The water line that goes into that tube, right? It comes from the fill valve, okay? If you took that out, the top of that tube that we're talking about, it has like a little, almost like a collar on it, right? And it's round?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want you to go to the hardware store. Now, this is going to be a little tricky, and you may have to buy a couple different pieces, but I want you to buy a 2-inch piece of clear plastic pipe.
Okay.
And you're going to slip it over the top of that little stubby pipe to extend the overflow so you can put more water into the tank.
Oh.
Now, you may also need a little stainless steel hose clamp to tighten it where it fits over that overflow.
Boy, that sounds more work than put it in the toilet.
Well, you didn't tell me what one. And I have done this trick because I had a project where the plumber bought these ultra low flush toilets, and the problem is they have a hard time flushing solids, and so I don't know what kind of water you're saving when you have to flush the toilet twice, you know what I mean, to do its job. So if you add a little piece of pipe, like 2 inches, then you can adjust the fill valve so it holds more water. You put the little hose back in the center of that thing, and you just modified that toilet to work fine.
Okay, I'll try that, Lou. Thank you, Lou.
All right.
I appreciate it.
I like that we're... I remember this guy. He was a little nervous about how much... the toilet was going to cost to install, and he really wanted to do it himself, and he got it. That's awesome. Good for you. I love that. All right, 877-213-4-LOU is the phone number, 877-213-4568. This is how it works. You get up in the morning, you got a problem, you need a little help. The advice is free. Oh, summer raspberries. Doesn't that sound good? We were driving by, and there was a little farmer's market pop-up thing. We bought some peaches. Oh,
I saw your wife's post.
Oh my gosh, peaches are so, I mean, my our son Max loves peaches. Really? So here's a little thing I learned. They had a little thing about this little news you can use, people. Peaches, okay? You know, you buy them and they're firm, obviously. And, you know, peaches are a funny little fruit. You got to get them just right so that they taste delicious. The lady goes, do not put these in the fridge right away. Lay them out on a counter, stem side down. And leave them there for like a day or two. And then once you feel that they've softened, then you can put them into the fridge up to 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because if you put... that would be Don Kleppen just blew his mind.
Wow. Stem side down. What?
Stem side down. And because she said if you put it in right away, they can... You know how peaches can sometimes get a little mealy?
Yeah.
If they're not quite right? I mean... Yeah. Good ripe peach. Is there anything better than that?
Man, those are so great.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's
our
awesome.
Son Max loves peaches. He's going to be so excited. They're on the table right now.
Nice.
Stem side down.
That's the way.
I listen. 877. And here's an interesting thing. And I'm tired of saying this, but here is a farmer's market type of thing. And they said to my wife, well, we'd prefer that you pay with credit card, not cash.
Mm.
Like at a farmer's market type of thing.
Really?
Like everybody's getting away from it.
Yeah.
Pay with a credit card.
That's right.
That's something.
We're going cashless, man.
Yeah. I thought that was so... I mean, that's the place where you're like, oh, here's $20. You know,
right,
give
right.
me how many peaches.
It is nice to pull the cash out of your wallet for sure, but...
Yeah. It's cash. Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is the phone number. Good morning, House Smarts Radio. This is Ed calling in. Ed, good morning. How may I help you, sir?
Hi, Lou. Good to talk to you. I have a question regarding a water filtration system for my kitchen.
Okay.
For reverse osmosis.
Okay.
Reverse osmosis.
Okay.
Do you know anything about them, and what could you recommend? I'm trying to get rid of lead in the water.
Okay. I do know a little bit about the reverse osmosis units. There's a bunch of different makers of it. The thing is, you need a little space to put these things in, right? So yeah. Do you have room in the cabinet, or is there room under the kitchen? Like, what's under where you're thinking?
Well, I've got room underneath the kitchen sink, sure.
All right. So a couple of different makers. Obviously, the biggest maker of them would be Culligan, and it's a multi-filter system where they use these, backflow basically to create the water to come out. Are you going to do this on a separate spigot for drinking water?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
Well, because the thing is, you do lose a little pressure when you put this on, and if you're concerned about the drinking aspect of it, then that probably would make the most sense. So if you're going to fill a coffee pot or, you know, a water pitcher or something like that. The other manufacturer that makes a decent unit that I'm aware of is a company called Kinetico, Kinetico. So much spelling. Okay. There's so much spelling on this show. Anyway,
how did you spell that?
Kinetico, Kinetico. Yes. She's
good
nodding.
Job.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm being judged by my teacher this morning. Anyway, both of those make really good units. They're not cheap. They can be like a couple grand for this. And there is filters that have to be changed. Did you do a water test where you had high lead content?
Yes.
All right.
I live in the city.
And do you have well, I'm just trying to think of what the best way for you to go on this one. I mean, if you're really more concerned about the drinking water aspect of it, then I would probably do something like that at the sink. And I mean, you know, brushing your teeth or whatever a little bit here and there. When you do a water test, when you're testing for lead, you know, there's a lot of homes in older buildings that have lead services. And if you draw the water, in other words, if you let it sit in the pipe overnight, and you draw the water immediately to do a test, there's a good chance you're going to have high lead content. If you let the water run for 30 seconds, you'd be amazed at how if it does not even disappear, you have, you know, such low lead contents that it's within the parameters of, you know, what is considered safe drinking. So you may want to just double check on that before you make this huge investment to do it a test again. Did you do it yourself, or did you have it professionally done?
Well, I had a water meter put in by the city, and then later on, because of the problems with those meters, I had somebody from the city come out and test it, and they did all those tests with letting the water run
they
for
did.
Several minutes.
And it's still high.
I still have a lot of light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be an issue for, I think it's going to become an issue someday with home buyers. And I mean, right now, everybody will buy a house, you know, for without even looking at it, but when you've got young families and they start to zero in on this kind of stuff, homes with lead pipe services coming in, it is not going to surprise me that this becomes an issue for buyers saying that, well, we're not going to buy the house or we need a credit because we've got to replace the water line coming into copper. But I think if you tried either one of those two units, you would improve it greatly. It's only going to be at that fixture. And so it's not going to do anything for the, you know, the watering the grass or taking a shower at the vanity. So just keep that in mind as when you're going to make that investment in all of that. But thank you so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Who is on line one? I don't have that on here. I would be happy to take that, but I don't
this
see.
This is Lorraine.
Oh, all right. Let me see if we can get Lorraine real quick. Hey, Lorraine, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a house that's 40 years old and has cedar shakes and vertical cedar. And, you know, it's been, when we first got the shakes, we put creosote over it.
Right.
They don't allow that anymore.
Right.
And maybe, I don't know, 7 years later, I used the translucent stain.
Okay,
for it.
We're talking and, about on the are we talking about the siding or the roof?
The siding.
Okay,
both the shakes.
Right.
The shakes on most of the house, and then on the bottom of the house is vertical.
Yep.
Okay. So now I had the sun has been drying out the shakes. Some of them have been cracking and falling off. So I had a painter come, and he said we should use solid stain on it.
Mm.
And the thing about the solid stain is you don't see the, you know, you don't see
the grain, right? Yeah. And also the issue there too, Lorraine, is that a solid stain is a lot like a paint. And,
I know.
And so then you have a film coating over the top of it where you run the risk of peeling. The fact that you mentioned creosote, I wonder if that really was what it was. But if it was a more aggressive type of oil stain, I think that what I would rather see you do is have the home pressure washed, replace any kind of shakes here and there that need replacing if they've been split or things like that. Then I want you to use a really good semi-transparent oil stain. And the one that I really like is a product called Penofin. P-E-N-O...
Can you spell that for me, please?
Sure I can. I'm the speller. P-E-N-O-F-I-N. Penofin. It is a rosewood oil base product. And they make a bunch of different products. But for you, if you get a lot of sun, they make one in a red can that has the highest UV block on it. And I'm telling you, your home is going to look fabulous if the painter puts this on.
Does it change the color of the wood?
Well, it will have a tint to it. It's not clear. Remember that a clear does not protect you from the sun's rays. So, you know, right now in an older home, it's kind of a grayish color, I would think, right?
It's a brown.
Okay,
it's a light brown, and I love the color.
So you can get the Penofin in that color. You may have to do some samples to make sure that you're getting what you want, but it is a fabulous product. Your painter may not be familiar with it. It's manufactured in California. It's available all across the country. And they've been using this stuff at Disney World on boardwalks and siding forever. Let me tell you, they get a lot of sun both in Disneyland and Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used the product extensively, and it really, really does a nice job. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LOU is the phone number. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. One of the things I remember, I was sharing the story years and years ago, when Mike Jay and I were in business together, we were remodeling contractors before we started building houses, and we were remodeling this beautiful home in the suburbs. And we would start at 7 in the morning every day, and it was a couple that had 3 children. And whenever we would get there at 7 in the morning, and they were always like, you know, trying to get the kids ready for school, and they were always in a rush and always kind of frantic in the morning. And so we said, would you like us to come later? You know, we could start at 8 if that would help you, as opposed to coming at 7. And they're like, no, we want you here. You know, we want to get the job done. It was a really nice room addition and kitchen, whatever. So one day, the husband and wife, I'm young. I'm the kid that said I used to listen to you on the radio. Like, I'm in my, you know, 30s at this point. And the husband and wife got into a little spat about, you got to get Jim, I can't remember the name of the child, got to get Jimmy to school. And oh, I got to, you know, I got a call or whatever it is. And so I said, do you want me to just take Jimmy to school? And they're like, what do you mean? I go, well, my truck's right outside. And so the kid is probably 6 or 7 years old. And I had a Ford F-150 pickup truck, just a single seat. You know, it wasn't like trucks now that have back seats and back doors and whatever. And it was a stick shift. So the little boy and his sister get into the truck. And so if you can imagine, it's a bench seat. The little boy is sitting right next to me, and I buckle him up, and I buckle his sister up next to him, and the gear shifter is in between his legs. And so he thought it was the coolest thing. I started taking the kid to school for like
You're
a week.
You're kidding.
For a week.
Oh, my.
We'd get there, and it was like, and, you know, this is long before Google reviews and all that kind of stuff. And I remember when we were done with the project, whatever, and, you know, they paid us, and the woman... Sadly, she passed away, but she said, you guys did such a great job. And she goes, I will never forget how you helped us take the kids to school.
Oh,
that's so sweet. God,
that is the sweetest story.
Yeah. So anyway,
only
that,
you.
Yeah, that was really funny. He thought, wow, what's that? You know, because he'd probably never been in a stick shift truck. I go, that's how you change the gears. And I would end up driving. It was really funny. I'm sure Mike remembers that story. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Frank calling in from New York. Frank, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I'd like to talk to you about, I have a Kohler toilet. It's about 5 years old, less than 5 years old.
Okay.
It makes a sound like it's filling up with water, even though it hasn't been flushed. You take off the cover and look, there's no water coming into the tank. Now, this happens maybe, I can't tell you how often, it happens sometimes. You come by, you hear it. So I had a plumber come in and look at it. He replaced the flat seal. Actually, he replaced it twice. Even though there was nothing wrong with either one, but he replaced it twice. Then he said the next thing we'd probably do is just replace the flush system, the flush piston cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And he said if that's no good, then we put in a new toilet.
You
know, it's a hit and miss deal because to put in the new flush system. And the call for the gaskets, that came out to like $161.
Right.
The system, and it's
right.
$596.
Right. Okay, so this toilet, let me ask you this. Are you in a house? Are you in an apartment? Where you live?
It's a house, a private house.
Okay, and so do you have none of this issue anywhere else in the house? You have another bathroom,
three bathrooms, no other issue, nowhere except there.
Now... It still happens. Does it happen on a regular basis or just like randomly?
You know, like if you were hanging out there, I don't know how often it happens. I could be brushing my teeth in the sink. It's separated from the room where the bathroom is, the toilet is, and you'll hear it. I could be just walking by. You can hear it.
Okay.
I can't tell you if it's going every 10 minutes or every 40 minutes. I don't hang out there. But, I mean, it's been going on for a couple of years.
Frank, get out of the bathroom. What are you doing in there? I'm waiting for the toilet to make some noise. Right. Okay, how about this? Do you have any food coloring at the house?
Yeah, that's up there.
Not red.
Now, this guy looked at it, and he studied it. He was looking with a flashlight.
Yeah. Whatever. Said, okay, that's fine.
Down.
He's just trying. He's trying to take your money. Find some food.
Yeah, well, and then he told me the master plumber and everything.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, he said, I got 37 years
I'm
experience.
The company
he worked for, they do want to do repairs.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he did a great job. But I'm trying to get you to avoid having to spend money on a new toilet. Toilets are super simple products. There's a couple pieces of china, and then all those parts are replaceable. Take some food coloring.
Yeah.
Take some food coloring, not red. Like if there's a yellow or something like that, yellow's perfect. It fits in with the toilet. Put a few drips in the tank for me, okay?
Yeah.
And then when you hear that sound, the filling of the water, tell me look in the bowl. If you heard the sound and there's no color in the bowl, that means it's not the flapper or the flush valve system. That means it's the fill valve that's turning on or off, okay? And it may just be, with this Kohler toilet, you may just need to adjust the fill valve. Now, Frank, are you handy at all?
Yeah.
Okay, take the lid off there. Take a look at that fill valve. With the Kohler toilet, they've got several different fill valve systems, but the float that goes up and down, okay, make sure...
Yeah.
That I was talking to somebody this morning, the overflow valve of the toilet, make sure the water's a half an inch below that. then take that fill valve and articulate it up and down a few times and make sure that that's not stuck or anything's hung up from calcium or whatever. If you do the trick with the coloring, the food coloring, and you hear the sound and it doesn't go into the bowl, then we know it's a fill valve issue. If the plumber's already changed the flapper, I bet that's what it is. And then...
Yeah, I did it twice, actually.
Right. So then, if you still see that there, like, oh, there is coloring, food coloring in the bowl, then there's something going on with that flush valve, and I would probably have that replaced or replaced again with a different one to make sure that it doesn't do that. You don't want to waste the water, and you want to make sure that everything's working properly. I appreciate the phone call. Tom is calling in. Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, hi, Lou. My chimney is the top 10 rows of brick need tuck pointing real bad. So I called the guy out, and he came and looked at it. Excuse me. And he said that the slab is concrete on top of the brick.
Yeah.
He says that's not concrete. It's limestone.
Okay.
And he says that absorbs water, and mine is so saturated that the water, when it rains, goes through that and into the brick. That's why the top 10 rows are bad, and the rest of the chimney is fine. And he says he's going to replace it with a slab of concrete. And it was, does he have to replace all that brick, too, the top 10 rows of brick, or
well,
could he just put the...
It depends, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, so, okay, that what he's talking about is that the very top of the chimney is called the crown, and it was very common where limestone was used up there on older homes, and it does absorb a lot of water. There's no question about it, and it can be problematic. The issue is, well, let me ask you this. That chimney that you have now, Tom, what does it service? Are there furnaces going through there? Is it a fireplace? What is it?
No, it's just a fire. It's just a fireplace with no gas or no starters.
Got it. Okay. And you use the fireplace?
No, not really.
A long time. Okay. So here's what they're going to do. They're going to take the limestone down. If they take that first 10 courses of brick, chances are they can clean up some of that brick. Now, some of that brick may break apart. You know, it isn't going to be like making a chimney out of Legos where you can unsnap them and they all, you know, stay together. So they may say to you, hey, you know, Tom, we're going to have to put a dozen bricks or so, you know, new that... A lot of times what they can do then to make sure that it still matches, they'll use those on the backside, maybe where you don't see it from the ground. They'll come down, they'll rebuild the chimney, and then what's common now for chimney crowns is they'll use, they'll pour a concrete slab up on top there. In other words, and they use this fibrous concrete that's got fiberglass in it. That is, it seals it, and they put a little hump in it so you kind of don't see it, so the water cascades off of it, and it seals it. So, you know, that is all very common. I actually, exactly what I just described, I had the folks at Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling do on a home that we own, and it too had ours had an old concrete crown that was cracked and leaking. And they rebuilt probably 10 courses of brick, and they'll clean up the old ones. And like I said, they'll put some new bricks where they can, and if they have to, and it'll be on the backside typically where you don't see it.
Oh, okay. And do you think I should try to Lindemann or just get two different prices? Or?
Well, I mean, I would definitely get multiple pricing so that you know what has to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to put scaffolding up there. You know, it's typically a two-person job to get this done. Their website is cleanfireplace.com if you wanted to go to their website. There's also a really good website nationally for the Chimney Sweep Institute of America, which is csia.org. And there you can find chimney sweeps and no matter where you live in the country, and find chimney sweeps that either do cleanings or rebuilding, all of that. Lindemann happens to be a part of that as well, that organization as well. But, you know, it's the type of thing that You know, it's hard to get everybody scheduled now because, you know, this labor shortage that we're talking about is affecting everyone. And so I've made the recommendation to a lot of people who are thinking about doing these projects. You want to get in line because it's going to take a while.
Oh, okay. And what is it? C-S-I-G?
C-S-C-S-I-A. C as in cat, S as in Sam, I as in Illinois, A as in Apple. .org.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling. Talking about a long time, my friend Marianne, you know my friend Marianne, she had something going on with her passport that she had to, I saw Marianne last night, and she had to call, you know, the passport people, like it expired or something like that. And she gets on the helpline and they said the wait time is 2 hours and 30 minutes to talk to somebody. So she stayed on the line. She went shopping. She went on a doctor's appointment, kept it on mute, and like did all this running around and came back home 3 hours and 10 minutes later. They picked up the phone. She was on the phone with them for 5 minutes and resolved the issue and went there. So, I mean, you know, and everyone's pat answer is, well, because of COVID. You know, it's taken forever to do whatever. You know, I mean, that's everyone's.
Doesn't she have a cell phone, though? Or this was on, like, a landline?
It was on a cell phone. So she just had her cell phone with her. You know, you got unlimited minutes. I would like to take 100% credit for picking a really good puppy. She's some kind
of wonderful. About it.
So, you know, we've got a new dog, Bruno. I got to come up with a you know, was Enzo the Wonder Dog. I got to come up with Bruno. He's an Italian dog. Bruno. Which, by the way, did you see the new Pixar movie?
Luca?
Yeah, did you see it, Darren?
I caught some of it. I didn't see the whole thing, but
Silencio Bruno!
Good.
That's a whole big thing in the line. Silencio Bruno!
Perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let me tell you. I don't care who you are. You got to watch adult or child or whatever. It's such a beautiful message in the Pixar thing, in the animation,
good.
And it takes place, what I'm calling, Cinque Terre, Italy, along the ocean side. It appears to be Cinque Terre. They don't say that, but
nice.
It's gorgeous, and it's really funny. My favorite comedian, Jim Gaffigan, plays the voice of the father of Luca, and he tweeted out right before the movie launched, or whatever you call it, premiered. He's like, oh, I'm so proud to be the voice of the father of Luca. He goes, you know, I gained 50 pounds for the role.
Classic.
But it's really good. But there's a whole Silencio Bruno, which has to do with a little bit of a theme in the movie. I don't want to give it away, but it's definitely...
I'm gonna watch it.
And it's and the interesting thing is, it's the kind of Italian that I grew up in. So the it's in English, but then they throw in these Italian phrases in the middle of it. So it was like I was at my house, you know, watching this movie, which was pretty funny.
That sounds great.
But the dog Bruno, he's like a little puppy now. I think he's 6.5 months old. He's a really good dog. Like, he's super chill. I'll go and, like, what he does, this is really funny. He, you know, he's a puppy, so he's still doing that kind of stuff. But I'll just turn, and he'll look at, and he'll just roll on his back, legs wide open, you know, belly up, like, pet me. And if you don't pet me, I'm just going to stay here. And he just stays there like he's dead. Like somebody shot the dog. It's unbelievable. It's the funniest thing. And it's fun to get to know. It's fun to get to know a new dog.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like the things that they like to do. And so.
So you haven't had to give the Silencio Bruno to the puppy yet. Because...
Well, I did try. He does bark a little bit. So now that's the thing that I say. Silencio Bruno.
Perfect.
And now he looks at me. He's like, I don't speak Italian. I go, you're going to.
You
I'm
will.
I'm going to teach you. You're a puppy. It's a good time to learn.
That dog is a good dog.
Nice.
He is a good dog.
That's cool.
He's a good dog. Maybe we'll post a picture of Bruno, Silencio Bruno. So. Then we know lots of people will go, I'll send you a picture. We'll post it up on Facebook.
Yeah, there you go.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone. Oh, coming up a little bit later on, though, Lindsay talked about it right at the beginning. Do you know what an evaporative cooler is? We're going to have a conversation about how it can be a great way to stay cool, both indoors and out. And these things are portable. Kind of an interesting, the person I'm going to talk to, we actually knew each other from a past life that we didn't realize until after we were, you know, setting up and talking about different things. So it's just interesting how small the world is. All right, our next caller is going to get a HouseSmarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating a kitchen or a bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. And we're going to talk with Jennifer, who's in Valparaiso. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Lou.
How may I help you?
Yeah, I have a question. I live in a condo, and I was having a problem with my drains. Here's the thing is, the disposal that's in here was probably in here since this place was built in the 90s. So I'm wondering, when I had the plumber come in, I asked him about taking it out. He says, well, you know, it's hardwired. And I'm thinking, why would you hardwire a appliance like this if something has to be replaced? In other words, I'm going to have to probably have an electrician come in. And I was asking about putting a plug down, you know, an outlet down there so that this could be plugged in. And so they're supposed to get back to me. But that's the one thing I wanted to know. Is that a normal thing to do for a disposal?
It is. And and in certain areas, it's code that a disposal has to be hardwired. Now, the most disposals, when you buy them, are all hardwired. They don't have a plug. Some will give you the option, but typically the plumber will, if it's a licensed plumber, that type of electrical hookup would be part of their work.
Okay.
So, I mean, that, go ahead.
He was going to take it out. He says, but if I take it out right now, he says, you'll have a hot wire down there. And I go, well, I don't want that.
No. There should be, you know, from a code perspective, a disposal should have its own breaker. So if you go down, you know, I don't know where your electrical panel is, but
I know where it's at, but it just says kitchen.
So it all might be there. Okay. And then do you know if under your sink, do you have a dishwasher?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And under your sink, do you have a switch that turns the dishwasher on or off?
Under the sink?
Yeah.
I've never seen one.
Like way in the back or something like that? Because typically another code is that you have to have a cutoff switch for a dishwasher and or...
If there is, I don't see it.
Okay. Well, many times that cutoff switch will also be wired to the disposal, so both of them have a cutoff switch.
Okay, because that's probably what it is then.
Well, but if it's
the disposal on the switch, up on the wall here.
Correct.
And what happened was it had been working when I first moved in here, and then about a year or so ago, it wasn't working anymore, and I tried to do the reset, and it wouldn't reset.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, well, the hell with it. I'll just, you know, plow through this. But now it's like, what was happening when I was getting the clogged drain, it was backing up into the dishwasher.
Got it.
So that's why I figured, I got to get rid of this thing. So
you're just going to take it out?
Well, not me, but...
No. I understand. But so, the more than likely, there is a box with a switch in that sink somewhere. And more than likely, the electric comes from that box.
Okay.
And if in fact, I'm right, which I may or may not be right, they can disconnect what's called the whip, the electric, from that box to the disposal. So now you don't have an exposed wire, and it's completely safe. Okay. They can seal up the box, remove the disposal, and go. Typically, a plumber will do all of that. But, you know,
here's the thing, because I was originally just going to just say, get rid of it. I don't want it anymore. But the more I thought about it, I go, well, it's probably going to be better if I do put one in for the resale. But my question was, how come this has to be hardwired?
Yeah.
So you answered my question.
Yeah, that's typical. And it's more typical to see them hardwired than it is to see them plugged in.
Okay. So that answers my question. So I can call the guy back and say, okay, get me a disposal and you guys can put it in and hot wire or whatever.
Right, exactly. Right. All right, Jennifer. Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Lou.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. A little potty mouth. I don't like the potty mouth in the morning. It's the H-E doubled hockey sticks. I get nervous when people do that kind of stuff. I know it's okay. I know it's okay to say that word, but, you know. I'm sensitive about these things. I won't even say the name of the other dog that I have, the breed, because that worries me. 7:19 in the morning, 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 877-213-4568. This is Sue in Chicago. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great on this kind of cloudy, rainy, humidity day. Let me tell you something. My hair is not looking good. It's very humid. How's your hair this morning?
It doesn't look good either. So.
Well, you know what? At least we're in it together.
Yeah. I had a follow-up question. You were talking yesterday to Bob Surratt about diaphanous earth. My friend has a big problem with ants in her garden/backyard.
Yep.
And
she sounds like a perfect candidate for diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, she grows fruits and vegetables back there, and then she has a pet who roams around through the whole garden. Is it safe to use for both of those instances?
Yeah. Actually,
okay.
I have, they use diatomaceous earth in feed for cattle, even.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say that, yeah.
So, it's completely safe. I don't quite get the science behind it, other than I know that it works. And, It's a very interesting product, and it's very good at controlling ants. And, you know, you want to create a barrier if they're going to put this around there so that when the ants or the bugs crawl over it, the diatomaceous earth gets on them. And as I mentioned with Bob, it gets on their ectoskeleton, and then it's bye-bye ants. Goodbye, ants.
Okay. Now, is that a one-time application? Or
no, it's something, that comes in a pretty big bag, and so I think it's the type of thing that, you know, like now all this rain, you know, stuff gets washed away, that you're probably going to have to reapply. The other thing, too, is, you know, there are some natural, you could talk to your friend about this, too, there are some natural treatments you can use that are safe for fruits and vegetables. For spraying leaves and whatnot, if they're worried about that kind of stuff. One of them that I really like is by Bonide called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Arrgh! Captain Jack's, not Bed Bug Brew. Captain Jack's, what is it called? Dead Bug Brew.
Dead Bug.
They have all these funny, right. And then when you go to the store, you got to go, arg.
Okay. Well, still.
Do you know where a pirate gets his coffee? Do you know where they buy their coffee? A pirate?
No.
Starbucks. I'm here all weekend. Enjoy the veal.
Can I use that one?
You can.
Okay. You said it was Bonide Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Correct. And it's for organic gardening, and you can spray it on fruits and vegetables, and that's something that you would reapply. You know what I use it on? I use it on in the garden, and I also use it on my hostas. You know how hostas, like right now the hostas look fabulous, but then the bugs will get on them? Spray them with the Dead Bug Brew. Arg! And it'll work out great.
You know, I have another question for you. How about indoor house plants, since we're talking about plants? I've been looking all over for something that I can use indoors because I have a really small rose plant, and I've had like flying things around it. But
you can use the Captain Jack's indoors.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can be used indoors. Okay.
Yeah. So it's really good stuff. It's been around for a long time, and I've used it for years, and I really do like it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much, Lou.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Jason in Aurora. Jason, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
So with all this rain that we've had lately, I decided, hey, I'm going to go down to the basement, just make sure that the sump pump was working, and everything was working fine, but I noticed some water drops on top of the backup battery, and right above it is where my circuit breaker panel is located. So I opened up the door, and obviously there was a little bit of moisture on the, you know, the panel where you write down what circuit breaker 1 through X is, right?
Yep.
I took the panel off, and I'm like, is there water inside? And there's condensation. It's not dripping anywhere that I can tell. Like, my big fear was like, oh, is it coming in through the, you know, the main service, right?
Right.
And I think it's just condensation from what I'm seeing. It's not drips, kind of. It's, you know. It's,
well, here's what it could be. Is your basement freezing cold?
The basement is really cold.
Right.
It is finished,
right,
except for obviously where, you know, the sump pump, right?
No, no, no.
Circuit breaker.
Right. But so it was so humid last night when we went out to dinner,
right,
with some friends and came home and saw, like, all this condensation. We had turned the air on because of the humidity, and the AC did a nice job of getting rid of the humidity, but it's so humid on the outside that the windows were condensating on the outside. So it wouldn't surprise me if your service outside, the metal pipe, is all hot and humid, it's really cold in the basement, and it's condensing, and that's why you're getting the dripping. So what I would do, did you leave the panel cover off right now?
I did. Actually, when I went to bed last night, I opened the door to that little area.
Yep.
Right? It's not that big.
Yep.
I left the panel door off. I made sure that air was circulating in there.
So
right?
put a box.
This morning.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and it was relatively dry this morning.
Yeah. So let's put a box fan in there and dry it out.
Just okay.
Point, you know, it can be 5 feet away. I don't care. It's not. It doesn't have to be, you know, super close. And but just
sure.
I bet it's condensation from the super high humidity, the air running. The basements are super cold, and you're probably just getting condensate. As long as you're not seeing any evidence of the service tap that comes into the panel, does it go out of the side of the house and then up?
It goes out of the side of the house and then.
Right.
It is one of those, it's down, right? So it goes out and down. But
okay.
It's the outside of the house.
All right, so just make sure if you can,
you know,
see, if you can, yeah, if you can see that service tap, you know, the pipe that goes out where the main lugs,
yep,
you know, the wires,
mm-hmm,
if as long as there's no water around that point where it goes through the home, then I think you're okay, and I bet it's just condensation.
Right, that's what I was thinking, and worst case, I was thinking of getting some of that that duct seal putty, you know, and like maybe just making sure that on the way out of the house.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that, or there's another product called Lexel, which I really like, that's easy to use. Just be careful, make sure that the panel is closed off before you're doing any of that work, and I think you'll be good. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:31 in the morning. When we come back, we're going to talk about all that humidity and how to get rid of it with an evaporative cooler.
You're listening to home expert Lou Manfredini.
Last summer, I was in Las Vegas. It was 114 degrees. 114 degrees. You can actually hear the sun at that point. It didn't feel safe. I was like, are we supposed to be here? 114. Like, you're never at a friend's house. You're warm in here. Yeah, I set the thermostat to 114. That's how I like it. I'm part lizard.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. Now, when it comes to keeping cool, I think a lot of people think, got to turn the air conditioning on. I got to get the fans going. It's so hot in here. Have you ever thought about an evaporative cooler? Well, it might be an option that you should consider. Joining me on the phone line is Steve Darnell, who is the National Accounts Manager for Portacool. Steve, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Can you explain to our audience what an evaporative cooler is?
I sure can. So the easiest way to think about evaporative cooling, in general terms, is if you're in a pool and you step out of that pool and it's 100 degrees and a breeze of air hits you, you shiver. So we have designed that exact cooling effect in a machine. So we use a media that's proprietary to Porticool, along with a fan, to create that evaporation process to bring cool air out the front of it.
Now, these things have been, over the years, known affectionately as a swamp cooler. Is that right?
They have, yes. And honestly, people still call them that today. you know, we prefer the term evaporative cooler. We at Porticool have pioneered the portable evaporative cooling segment since 1990.
Now, I know that these come in a lot of different sizes, and I've been familiar with evaporative coolers in drier climates, but these can be used really just about anywhere in North America, can't they?
Absolutely. And the only difference in where it can be used it is the amount of temperature change you can get.
Got it.
So obviously, a more humid environment, the temperature change won't be as high as, say, Arizona, for example.
Right. Yeah, I was recently in Arizona, and that whole example of the swimming pool, we were in a heated pool. It felt great. It was 90 some degrees outside, but when you got out, because it was so dry, you were chilly, which is the craziest thing with that lack of humidity. Obviously, that temperature change, I mean, it's a great way to describe it. Now, give me some examples of where someone could use a Porticool evaporative cooler.
So you can use a Porticool evaporative cooler anywhere that you have a good ambient airflow, right? So if you think from a homeowner perspective, you can use it on a back patio. You could use it in a garage if you're working on your car, working in your shop. You can use it, you know, around the pool, obviously, is a great place for that. So really anywhere that you're hot, you could use it, right? And the fact that they're portable allows you to take it with you. So if you're, you know, you move from the patio to the garage, the evaporative cooler can move with you.
Right. You guys, your folks over there sent me a Porticool 510, which is a pretty portable size unit. I mean, I would probably describe it as a rolling suitcase, like something you would check on a plane, you know, like a bigger one. But when it's empty, it's pretty lightweight. It's got wheels on it, so it rolls around quite easily. And all you do, when you talked about that media, kind of that filter on the back, you put water in the base of this thing and turn on a pump and turn on the fan, and it starts cooling you off.
So that is the beauty of a Porticool cooler. You pull it out of the box, you put water in it, you plug it into a standard outlet, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Start to finish, you can be cooling in 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, this sounds like it would be an awesome, like that the 510 that you sent me for like tailgating or camping or anything like that, because it really doesn't take up a lot of space. But you also make big ones that I've seen at like a dealership, like in a maybe a big garage where you've got technicians working on cars that's not necessarily air conditioned because the doors are opening and closing, but they'll have one or two of these really big ones. And I remember the first time I saw it, I asked one of the techs and I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Oh, that's my savior when it's, you know, 90 degrees outside."
We do. So we have units, and we kind of talk about cooling from a square footage perspective.
Right.
So the 510 that you've been referencing, that'll cool around a 300 square foot area comfortably. We go upwards of 5,000 square feet from a cooling perspective. Again, the beauty of an evaporative cooler is it doesn't put any moisture into the air. So you mentioned a car dealership, right? So there's no slip hazard there. It doesn't put any, you know, a mister, if you stand in front of it, you get
right.
wet. Stand in front of a Porticool evaporative cooler, you get cool. Very different.
And there's no refrigerant. There's no, all of them, I assume, even the big ones, just plug into a standard receptacle.
Correct. No refrigerant. You know, they really work. Three working parts. You have a pump, you have a motor, and you have the fan.
Yeah.
But what really sets the Porticool apart is our media. And the fact that it's manufactured in the U.S. in Center, Texas. So we are a USA-made company from Global Parts, which we're very proud of.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you that media, is it fair to call it a filter? Is that what that is on the backside that the water goes down?
Filter is a way to describe it. Really, it's the platform to get the evaporation cooler process started.
I see.
Is what it is.
Is that something? So is that something that has to be replaced every so often?
You can, yes. You can replace it depending on your usage. It can be replaced. You know, they can last a couple years.
Wow.
Again, it's dependent on your environment.
Right.
And from a maintenance standpoint, you know, we talk about pulling the media out, just blowing it off with an air hose, you know, every couple of weeks will really make that media last a lot longer.
Got it. Got it. Now, I know that your products are available at a lot of different retailers, and so the pricing certainly can vary depending on what the retailers are selling them for. But can you give me some, like, kind of standard retail pricing for some of the different size ones, like that 510 unit that you were kind enough to let me try out? What is the general retail on something like that?
So the general retail on the 510 is right at $349. So it kind of gets you into that opening price point.
Right.
But we can get into the thousands from a price standpoint. Again, when you start talking about some of the bigger units that can cool, you know, thousands of square feet, they're a little bit more. But the $349 price point gets you into the coolers. And it's great because, again, from a homeowner perspective, you can use it almost anywhere.
Yeah. Really cool stuff, and I love the fact that it's made in the USA, and you know, you're pumping this stuff out, which is awesome. Steve Darnell is the National Accounts Manager for Porticool. Steve, if people want to learn more about the products and find a retailer and learn all they can do with a Porticool to stay cool and comfortable, where do they go?
Absolutely. They go to our website, www.porticool.com. We have a couple different sections there. Obviously, there's a frequently asked question section, but also a retailer locator on there as well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate you getting up with us this morning, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Lou. You as well.
This lady loves Lou.
And I've been listening to you forever. I love you, love you.
This guy, he loves Lou too.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
Yep, another lover.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
But hey, that's not what this rejoin is about. We're not trying to oversell Lou. I'm just doing like a public service announcement.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
So now you decide for yourself. Back to your host, Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. What's
love? I really appreciate you listening to House Smarts Radio every Saturday morning. The show off the air is almost better. 877-2134-LOU. I mean, I think that, you know how, and I'm going to try and stereotype without getting in trouble. But you know how when a bunch of friends get together that haven't seen each other for a long time, and like maybe you go to an event or do something, and then you all sit around and you can just talk all day? Right?
Yeah.
Right? And just like, oh my gosh, we could have talked to all. You and I, while we talk throughout the week of various things, off the air, we will catch up on a bunch of different things. Tell me about the girls, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we will be mid-sentence, and Bob Ferguson, who is such a great traffic cop, will be like, 10 seconds, read the Chevy commercial. And you're like, oh! You're like, you're aggravated that I...
Well, because then I don't get to finish my story because we always go on to the next topic in the next
right.
break.
And then like, hey, what happened when you were telling me about the cuckoo clock or whatever it is? Anyway, 877-213. There was about a cuckoo clock. 877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Therese in Dyer, Indiana. Hi, Therese. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm noticing that on the interior hallway, on the wall, on the edge where it meets the kitchen, I'm seeing some cracking, and in light of the recent events in Miami, you know, it just makes you so concerned.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's just an awful story.
To come and assess it.
Well, okay, so the folks at PermaSeal do offer structural repairs, and they have certified structural contractors that can come out and take a look at what's going on. And that would probably be, I think that'd probably be the smartest way to begin because the estimate and the consultation doesn't cost anything. Now, if they were to determine, okay. if they were to determine that, hey, we could make this repair, whatever it is, or if it had to be elevated to the next level
where you potentially could need a structural engineer, then they could certainly help you with that next level opportunity. I think that, well, I mean, I don't really want to comment about the Miami thing because I just don't know enough about it. But, I mean, it's certainly always, it is certainly a good idea to, you know, give the house the once over. In particular, if you've had issues structurally, I certainly don't anticipate anybody's home having the same type of catastrophic failure that that building had for whatever the reasons were. But I would probably start with the folks at PermaSeal.
Okay. And they would they go through the whole house, the crawl space, the attic? You know, I had a remodeling job.
I mean, they're a structural company. So, I mean, obviously, if there's something that's emanating from the foundation of the home that then, you know, translates up into the rest of the home, they would certainly look at that. I mean, they're not there as an inspector, per se, of like the whole house or to see what kind of remodeling, the quality of the remodeling job is. That they would be there to inspect the structural integrity of the home.
Okay, just on the outside.
No. They would come inside.
Oh, the home.
No, they would come inside. Right.
And go from there, and if it's
correct, and then from there, I mean, it's right. It's a great place to start, and you know, they may say, oh yeah, this corner's sinking, and we could jack that thing up, and you know, figure out how to make it work better.
Okay. All right. Well, that's reassuring. Thank you so much, as always.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. By the way, we are broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios here at House Smarts Radio. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Well, so this is something that I did that I never thought that I would do ever in my life.
Your favorite fixer-upper guy.
I colored my wife's hair.
Your handyman hero.
Our friend Megan, who has cut our hairs for like 30-plus years, and she had dropped off the bottles, and there I am shaking the bottle, and I had the gloves.
Your Mr. Fix-It.
Part of it is I think I could be really good at this because I have big hands. Nice. And so when you're working someone's scalp, you really got to get in there with the color.
He's here to help you with anything.
And I must say that I did a really nice job.
Clearly. Anything.
What's really funny is I've never paid any attention to this now, and now when I'm watching TV or something like that, I'm like, their hair color's not that good.
Now back to Lou.
It's all about working it into the roots.
On Hair Smart, House Smarts Radio.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay, and I pity any girl who's in need today.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. Before we get back to your phone calls, I got a text message from a major market personality, John Williams. You hear here on WGN Radio Monday through Fridays, as well as Sunday Night Standards. I mean, he is all over the place. And he had a question because we were talking about evaporative coolers, you know, in our interview with the Portacool people.
Sure.
And he said, what is the difference between an evaporative cooler and a dehumidifier? Which is a very good question. I go, why don't you call in? And he goes, have Lindsay call me. And his phone goes directly to voicemail. So, but it is a good question. So I will answer that because I think that it might be a little confusing to people. First of all, an evaporative cooler, like the Portacool, is designed to be used outdoors. It really isn't anything you can do inside because, technically, it would add humidity to a space. Okay, so let's back up and say, what does a dehumidifier do? A dehumidifier, essentially, is an air conditioner running backwards, where it takes the humidity that's in the air, runs it through a series of panels, and then pulls the moisture out that then collects in that tub or in a hose that goes to the drain, for instance, if you had it set up that way. And anybody that uses a dehumidifier know that it actually creates heat. So you feel warm air coming out of it, but it's using that heat to draw the moisture out and lower the ambient humidity into a space. So that's how a dehumidifier works. An evaporative cooler, so if you can imagine this, our guest talked about the media. The water comes down over this media, and I know they don't like the word filter, but it looks like a filter. the solid water or the liquid water almost becomes a little mist because the media spreads it out. When the fan blows across that mist, the air temperature is cooler coming through that, and then it collects onto the bottom. So if I can describe this how an air conditioner works, it's sort of the same way. That big compressor outside, the refrigerant that goes inside of a air conditioner is a liquid. And when it expands, when it gets to your air conditioner, the blower, it turns from a liquid to a gas. And it's super cold. And as the fan blows through there, that's why you get air conditioning. And then it goes back and it just constantly cycles through. An air conditioner was invented from the concept of an evaporative cooler. But using refrigerant, I mean, think about this. The refrigerant that goes into an air conditioner is so cold, right, that the temperature of the refrigerant itself, that it would boil if you raised it to 40 degrees. Think about that, right? So that's how that works. With the evaporative cooler, the water goes through this media. When the fan blows through the what is now a misty, thinner version, it cools off. If I could think about it in a different way, let's say, Lindsay, you're going to grill some vegetables grill some vegetables on the stovetop. And I take a little bit of olive oil, just a little bit, teaspoon. That oil would heat up really quickly, right? Because there's less of it. If I put a cup of olive oil in that pan, it would take longer. So the less, when you take the water and you spread it out a little bit and then the fan goes there, that's where the cooling comes from. In Arizona, if you use an evaporative cooler, the temperature of the air coming out, because the ambient humidity level of Arizona is so dry, the air that you feel blowing through this thing could be 20 degrees lower than the outside ambient air temperature. 20. That's how much you'd really feel that difference. Here in Chicago, like on a day like today, it might only be 7 or 8 degrees. Cooler, but not as dramatic. So, John, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah.
Listen to John Williams Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, then host of the Wintrust Business Lunch, and then Sunday Night Standards here with John Williams tomorrow night. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We're going to talk with Dave, who's in Des Plaines. Hi, Dave. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I built a rock waterfall garden in the yard, and it's really cool and attracts a lot of birds and wildlife. But I noticed I've been getting a little bit of the yellow jackets. Actually, one was pink yesterday. And without spraying some really bad pesticides so that the birds who drink the water and bathe in it won't get poisoned, any idea how to get rid of those little pests?
Are they... It's drawing them to what, the water, or are they nesting in the rocks?
They want the water. They want the water. And they kind of seem like they're maybe gravitating maybe to try to nest or something under some of the smaller pebble rocks.
Boy, I don't know what you would do. Yeah, I don't know what you would do to treat the water that wouldn't harm the birds.
Right. I thought of that Captain Jack's... You recommend that I use that on my garden plants.
I don't know that that would, for the water, I think it would just dilute it, and I don't know that that would have any real effect of the, the only thing that I would tell you could possibly do is try and attract the wasps and the yellow jackets away using a trap. So, in other words, where your garden or where your rock garden is, sounds like you love birds. You don't want an extra bird clock, do you? Lindsay and I were talking off the air that she has lots of bird clocks, and they have one that she wants to get rid of. We could give you that.
A bird clock?
Yeah, on the hour, the bird chirps or something. You know, something like that. Anyway,
no, I don't think
that's just an aside. No, he doesn't want it either, Lindsay. What I would say, you could get a yellow jacket trap and put it maybe 20 feet away, hang it in a tree.
Yes.
And draw them there.
That's a good idea. Yep.
That way.
I was going to boil hot water.
And do what with that? Make hard-boiled eggs?
Down the, by the waterfall being real hot and make it unpleasant for them, and the birds wouldn't be affected. They'd see it's too hot and they'd fly away or whatever, and then they might not like it, gravitate away from it. But like you say, they're
creatures
of habit that would come back.
Yeah, they are a creature of habit, and I think that when you if you try and attract them away, that probably is the best bet, and you won't harm the birds whatsoever.
All right. Sounds perfect.
You got it. Thanks so much for your phone call. I really appreciate it. I can't give away that bird clock to save your life. I mean, it's crazy.
Hey, we all have that love-hate relationship with our homes, right?
There's so much electricity in this house. I can't even comb my hair. It stands out like I just stuck my finger in an electric socket.
But you've got to be nice to your house.
In frustration, I banged that box with my fist, and the heat started again. And I thought, oh, I fixed it.
Then it will be nice to you.
But now I'm hopping up on my bed and hitting it with a baseball bat.
So if you're looking for other ideas, now's the time to call Lou. He's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, how you doing, baby? You look mighty fine. I figured I might come your way and roll up on you with that golden ticket. Shawty, can I get your digits? Maybe we can kick it.
Welcome back.
Hey,
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Kathleen's in Chicago. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you, dear?
We're having our floors redone again, Lou. We had them done about 20 years ago, and they used something called street shoe finish.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it was really nice because there were, you know, no smell or anything, and it had a nice low sheen. So we just had a fellow come in that wants to do our floors, got an estimate from him, but he's talking about using Sinteco varnish and says we're probably going to have to leave, and he said it dries real fast.
I'm not a fan. So here's the thing. The Sinteco's been around for a very long time, and it's a very hard, durable finish. There's no question that it is an excellent finish, but it is highly caustic when it goes down, and you have to leave. The installer has to wear a respirator, and, you know, it's not a gymnasium. It's your house. And so if you go with a waterborne finish like a street shoe or the product that I have used extensively on homes that I've remodeled and properties that I own is a product called Traffic by Bonacemi. Waterborne.
Traffic.
Three coats. They do a setting coat first. Then they screen the floor. They do a second coat and a third coat. And it's beautiful. And you will easily get 20 years out of it. You're not going to get any more out of the Sinteco, and quite honestly, if you've got to turn off the, I mean, literally, they say we got to turn off the water heater and turn off the furnace because we can't have an open flame. How is that good? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus the fact that you're asking the installer, hey, buddy, thanks so much. Can you put this down for me? And the poor person is, you know, breathing through this respirator for this highly, highly caustic stuff. There are alternatives that are just as good, in my opinion. And so I would just say either the street shoe or the Traffic by Bonacemi.
Is that Bona the Wood People, B-O-N-A?
Yep, B-O-N-A, Kemi, K-E-M-I.
K-E-M-I. I use Bona Wood Cleaner. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. And so they started, they were a floor finishing company. They still are. But that's where they developed. That's where they developed the cleaner to protect the floors that, you know, they're resanding and using their finish on.
Okay, yeah, we're both 72, so we're not. It's not a gymnasium, and we're not, you know, looking for 30 years.
Well, you just never know. Maybe you call me in 20 years.
You never know.
You call me back in 20 years, and. And, you know, you will talk about how nice your floor looks, or now it's time. And you're like, I can't remember what you told me 20 years ago.
Right.
Hopefully, exactly. Hopefully we can remember it 5 years from now, too.
Oh, I agree with that. Lou, so do you recommend anybody in, we're south side Chicago.
like near Evergreen Park, Oak Lawn, but we're still Chicago.
Sure. So there's a company that I have used forever, probably more than 25 years. And they've been around for a very long time. They do a very nice job. They use all those different finishes we spoke of, but they do a lot of work with traffic. It's a company called Peter Flooring.
P-E-T-E-R.
Yep, flooring. Like the name Peter. Peter Flooring, and their phone number is
773-481-2244. 2244. All right. Well, we listen to you. My husband and I listen to you every Saturday, and I'm the lady that had the tennis ball or the dog's ball and the cold air return, if you remember, a couple years ago.
I do remember that. Well, I appreciate you both listening. What's your husband's name?
Dennis.
And how long have you and Dennis been married?
That'll be 52 years in January.
God bless you both. Remember what your family said about Dennis? They said it would never last. Remember?
I know, right. They did.
But I'm a tolerant soul.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Lou. We enjoy your show. Keep going, and I enjoy your pictures on Facebook, too.
Oh, right. We got to post a picture of the dog. I got to get Lindsay a picture. When we go to news, I'll get you the dog picture for sure. 877. Dog pictures, that's what makes us... Look, anything with women's hair, it was a very effective post, right? True. And now I'll find a really cute picture of me and Bruno, and we'll put it up there. And
you have enough of them.
I do. We have lots of pictures of Bruno. He's the new. I wonder if Flo feels left out.
I would.
I don't think she cares. She's like a cat. Those kinds of dog, that type of dog, those Sioux are kind of, they're like cats. And she looks at you. She really is like Roz from Monsters Incorporated. I'm always watching you. She's got one eye that kind of looks off. She looks like Marty Feldman. I love you, Flo. She can't hear me. She doesn't care. Well, 877.
She's ignoring you if she is.
She is. 877-213. Let's get one quick call in here before news. This is Joanne in New Lenox. Hi, Joanne. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I have a question. On Thursday, I had my 4-year-old Lennox air conditioner serviced. And I was told that one of the air conditioners, the condenser, is the coil is leaking, which I found out is a defect on both Lennox and Carrier air conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he gave me two options. I want to know what's your opinion on it. He said I could go with adding the R410 in, and then adding a leak sealant additive for $140. And each one of the, you know, when they do the R410, the first one would be $149, and each one would be $49. Or I could have it all replaced for $875.
How old is the unit?
4 years.
Yeah, I would first contact Lennox and find out if there's some technical repair or... There has been an issue with a manufacturing defect, and I am not certain... if there was any ramification from the manufacturer to fix this problem with no cost to you.
Okay, okay.
So I would start there.
Okay.
The thing with the leak seal is, and I'm sure that they told you this, there's no guarantee.
Right, I know. He told me he had just serviced the ladies in Orland Park, and hers was successful. With the way my luck's been going lately, I'm sure it wouldn't work.
Well... that's the thing. I mean, it's just there's no guarantee. I would start with Lennox first and see if you get anywhere with them directly. You need the model number, the serial number. You're going to need proof of purchase as well to be able to, get them to see if they can respond to that, to see if there's a way to get it repaired at no charge to you. Appreciate the phone call. It is 8:30 in the morning. When we come back, we've got a new Tulu 2 that's the hottest thing in keeping drinks cold, no matter what it is you're drinking. Thank you.
I have to tell you, went to Menards, and I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bag.
You might get in trouble for this noodaloo, too.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
877-213-4-LOU. Yeah, my wife just had a birthday.
But I still wake and we, up. I still
and
see
you actually purchased this for my wife. And you and I were together, and it's this really cool item. And they're like, oh, we need to come up with a noodaloo, too, for this weekend. I go, what about this thing? It's so cool. But you were you said, I do not want your wife to think that we got it for free and I gave it to her as a gift, which is not true. I mean, that is true.
But it is true. Thanks.
That's funny. Welcome back. How Smarts Radio. It is the latest and greatest. Now, I am drinking my coffee out of my giant... Actually, you gave this to me. It is a giant Yeti mug that, I mean, you could literally... go through the Sahara Desert. It's so big, but it has a etching on the front. It says, and it's a picture. I don't. It probably isn't really him. They didn't have to pay him, but it is the image of Willie Nelson, right? So with the glasses on and the ponytails, and it says, "Have a Willie nice day," and it makes me smile every time I look at that.
I know, yeah. Right?
Right. So anyway, but the thing with these ceramic or these stainless steel items. Is they do a really good job of keeping beverages cold or beverages warm, whatever it might be. But there's a brand new item that allows you to do a bunch of different things. It's kind of it's the Swiss Army knife of the what do you call those coolers? What do you call tumblers? Like a tumbler. It's the Swiss Correct. Army knife of tumblers. Our Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
All right, show of hands, who likes warm beer? Yeah? I'm going to guess no one raised their hand on that one. What I bet you do like is an iced cold beer or an iced cold hard seltzer. On a boat, in the summertime, listening to Zac Brown, In the Sun. Oh, sorry, just lost myself in a daydream. Well, this week's Noodaloo 2 will get you one step closer to that daydream. Or, heck, maybe this is a reality for you and you're listening to the show on a boat right now. But do you have our Noodaloo 2? Our Noodaloo 2 this week is the Brewmate Hopsulator Trio 3-in-1 Stainless Steel Insulated Can Cooler. It's a mouthful, but it is the hottest upgraded koozie on the market, and we think you're going to love it. The Brewmate Hopsulator Trio keeps those icy beverages cold no matter how hot your party gets. Rolling three uses into one. You can use it to hold and keep cold 16-ounce cans, or if you're drinking a 12-ounce shorter can, you can insert the Arctic Adapter Gel Pack, which is kind of like a booster seat for your beverage. That's included in this trio, and it'll give your can a little lift for easy sippage. You can also use it as a pint glass and pour your drink right into the Brewmate using the included lid so you don't spill. The Brewmates are no sweat, no burn. The exterior remains super dry and cool as a cucumber no matter how hot or cold your drink is inside. They're great for camping, fishing, barbecuing, or on that boat I was dreaming of earlier. They come in lots of cool colors. But oh wait, there's more. They also come in wine tumblers, wine canteens, Hopsulator Slims for those skinny cans, and rehydration bottles, otherwise known as water bottles. Something for everyone. They range from about $25 to $35, and you can find out more at HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's Noodaloo.
You know, I have to admit that we do not buy plastic water bottles any longer. And we have almost exclusively started to use refillable water bottles and use these tumblers. And, I mean, I think it's just we got to get out of plastics, right? We just have to. And the I was talking, my brother-in-law works for Pepsi, and we were talking about this. And, you know, the problem with they tried a test where they, what is the Aquafina, right? The water that Pepsi
sure.
sells.
Mm-hmm.
They tried a test with that in cans, and nobody bought it because there's like a little metal taste that mm-hmm. the water picks up mm-hmm. where you don't pick it up if you buy a Pepsi or a Mountain Dew or whatever it might be. So the plastic water bottles, you know, just, but we need to get away from that. It's just not good for the environment. And, So we need to use more of these tumblers. This Brewmate that you purchased for my wife, purchased, no one gave it to you, is really, it's attractive. And it's kind of in that Yeti quality when you hold it in your hand. It's a really nice quality piece. The little insert thing, I'm going to lose that. The booster seat for your can. I wish they would have come up with...
Lose it.
Yeah, they could have come up with some way to...
Attach it.
Or like, I don't know, like a flick of a switch and a little, I don't know. I don't know. But it's. I think you're going to, when you buy one, you're going to use it for like, oh, this would be great to put a can of beer in or a soda or drink it like a cup. It's really, really nice. You can go to housemartsradio.com to see more information about it and see the images of it as well. We have it up there for you. That's our new Lou 2 for this week. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Sharon in Glenview. Hi, Sharon. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have an old, heavy wooden table that sits outside on a deck all summer.
Okay.
It needs to be somehow preserved. I don't want to change the color or the look. I just want to make sure it lives another, it's probably from 1940.
Oh, wow. Well, but so when I look at the table, is it, so in other words, you there's nothing on it. It's kind of a gray color. What color is
it? Yes, exactly. Gray. Very gray.
I mean, the thing is, using something like any kind of clear finish over the top of it is just going to peel and make it look dirty. So your better bet would be to try using something like a straight oil, like a linseed oil, which will, it will darken it a little bit, but the gray should remain. Linseed oil is, it's not really tinted, but there is a little, you know, a little bit of a shading to it. Why don't you do this? Is it just a table or are there chairs as well?
No, just a table.
Okay. So buy a small thing of linseed oil and then, you know, a table like this, it would probably do you well to do a little bit of sanding just to open up the fibers of the wood, because as it sits outside, and especially something that old, the wood sort of atrophies and kind of closes up. You get this thing called wood sheen that doesn't allow the linseed oil to absorb into it. So I would rough up the surface just a little bit with a medium grit sanding sponge. And then brush it off. Use a tack cloth or a damp rag just to get all the dust off there. Then once it's dry, try a little linseed oil on a leg or something, like one side of a leg, and just see if, like, oh, okay, that's not bad. I don't mind that. And then if that's the case, brush it on with a brush and then wipe it away with a rag. And that'll help to restore some of the oils in the wood to keep the fibers together and, you know, buy you a little bit more time. I mean, you're coming from the 1940s, so this thing might be, you know, heading to its horizon.
It's really sturdy, really well built.
That's
and
so
it's
cool.
In great condition.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love those old tables. There used to be a store in Chicago on North Avenue, kind of on your way to Wells, called Pine and Design. I actually think they used to be an advertiser on WGN Radio. And they used to make these old tables. They would have them made from old reclaimed wood. These giant tables, like the kind of table that they used to eat at the Ponderosa, you know, on Bonanza.
Wow.
And and I mean, they were new tables made from old wood, but they wouldn't change any of the. If there was a check in the wood or a cigarette burn or something like that, it would all be part of the table. And it was such cool stuff. And I remember at the time I looked at these tables and I was like, someday I'm going to buy one of these tables. They were really expensive. And by the time I could afford one of these tables, they went out of business. It was so sad. Pine and Design.
Too bad. But back to the linseed oil. Are there different kinds of linseed oil?
No. Just buy linseed oil. That's it. You can get it at the you can get it at the hardware store.
Okay. Perfect. Great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you calling this morning. See, I went on I like that when the callers put me back on track. Okay, stop telling me about the table. I need my linseed oil answer. Let's go. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. It's about you, not me. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We've got a couple open phone lines. Give us a call. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. This is Sharon in Glenview. Hi, Sharon. Hello, Sharon. Not Sharon. This is not Sharon. So who would that be? Who would be line three? Who would be line three? George? Are you George?
Good morning.
Hi, George.
Good morning to you, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. My wife and I are first-time home buyers here in Prospect Heights. We bought a 1950s four-bedroom home ranch home, and we're starting to obviously get things in order. And one of the main things that I'm trying to tackle is obviously making sure there's no water problems or future water problems in the basement. So the first thing I've been doing is, you know, checking the sump pump, and we actually just replaced that yesterday. It was the sump pump was shot. I was throwing some water down the pit just to see if it works, and it was like 20 plus years, so that's fixed. But one of the things that I'm noticing is actually over this rain and stuff, no water has been going into the pit, and I'm wondering if my drain tile is either clogged or maybe I live up. The house is on a higher elevation, so
right.
The water is, you know, it's not too much around the house, and plus we've had this, you know, drought. But I'm just wondering, who should I call? Maybe do I have to get it scoped, or I don't know, just your thoughts on that.
Okay, you've been in the house how long?
Well, we've been in the house for about a week, but I've been just, you know,
you've been bopping around looking at all this kind of stuff. So here, this is not to be overly promotional, but the first book I ever wrote is called, now it's called House Smarts, but there's probably some hard copies still available, where Mr. Fix-It introduces you to your house. And exactly what you're going through is why I wrote the book literally almost 20 years ago. It's the What to Expect When You're Expecting book for your home, and it still holds up today. By the way, if there's a publisher out there who would like to do an update of the book, I'm available. So anyway, but that book will help you kind of exactly what you're going through to kind of understand what's going on. Now, your new home that you've been in for a week, the downspouts that come off of the gutters, do they go into the ground or do they go onto the ground?
Well, good question. So that's another thing I am going to replace, because I'll be honest, the previous owners, and again, no knock, but they go into the ground, but they're all clogged up, and I want to get new gutters so it all pitches towards the back, because the house goes, the hill goes down. So it's a good flow for the water to go down. So I want to get, you know, new gutters so it all pitches to the back. But all the water is going around the foundation. No water in the basement thus far, but
right.
No water is going into the pit at all.
Okay.
And we had a pretty hard rain.
Well, hold on. The downspouts won't go into the pit. The downspouts will go into your sewer. And so,
okay. And so
that's a good idea, regardless of your sump pump, as an aside, where you should disconnect those from going into the ground, and even just put a little kicker on there and a leader away from the home and let it spill onto the ground instead of going into the sewer. Because if there was ever a sewer backup and it was a pouring rain, then it could back up into your home. So that's a whole different aspect of it. Now, no water in the pit... it could be an issue of exactly what you said. I'm on a high elevation. I'm not getting any water. The way you can test just to make sure that the pump is working is, you know, get a couple of 5-gallon buckets or get a garden hose, whatever, and fill that thing in and make sure that that pump is, in fact, working.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. So like I said, we replaced the pump. I'm more concerned.
But you replaced the pump in a dry pit.
Yeah, but I put water in there. I'm just saying, should I call a plumber to camera scope that, you know, the drain tile? I mean, do they do that?
Well, like, they do, I mean? But I wonder if that is
the real issue.
If you're not getting any water in the basement, then it might just be your elevation. I mean, you certainly could hire somebody like a PermaSeal. They would come out and they could check that all out for him, and that's within their wheelhouse to do all that. But honestly, if you're not getting any water and the pump is working, eventually that pump will get water in it and it'll work. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I don't know that I don't know that I would worry about that. And And, you know, just those all those other tasks, you know, make a list. Try not to bite off more than you can chew. And look for, when you're looking for things to do in the house, look at the things that first protect the envelope of the home, the foundation, the downspouts, the gutters, the mechanical systems, the things that aren't too sexy. But, you know, if you start there and then you know you have everything in good shape, you can lead to the sexy stuff, kitchens and bathrooms and that kind of stuff down the line for budget purposes. Thanks so much for the phone call.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Sacrete or Quickcrete. Quickcrete.
Quickcrete. And House Smarts Radio.
And has a 4.9 Google rating.
He really does know what he's talking about. Sometimes he just has a hard time getting it out.
Joining me on the phone line is Kat Kataringala. I had it.
Ding! Ding-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-dong!
Now back to Lou Manfredini taking your calls live.
Karingala.
Karingala. There you go. You're doing great, Lou. Don't worry about it.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
What's in a name, really? Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 9:10 in the morning, 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. Nancy is in Lake in the Hills. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on this morning?
We have a 27-year-old house, and the gutters are fine. We're going to get them clean, except there's like black speckles, like freckles on them.
On the outside.
What can we use? Yes. What can we use to make them look like new?
Oh, my God. And what color are they?
White.
Okay. So there is this, there's this company called Chomp. 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 And they actually make a really good wallpaper stripper, but they also make a gutter cleaning solution. I have no idea what is in this magic sauce that they have, but the thing that happens with aluminum gutters, that white and those speckles, you try like crazy to, there's some sort of chemical and or metallic reaction that occurs, which makes it very difficult to clean. And this solution, sometimes you can find the product and it comes with a mop head, and sometimes you can't. But if you were to get a sponge mop, but like Quickie makes a mop that can go inside of a bucket that is more oblong in shape, and it almost looks like the hair on it is like the Shaggy Dog, you know, from the Disney movies.
Right.
The Shaggy Dog.
Yeah.
And and so you put this solution in a bucket and you can put it on a long pole. Do you have a single story or a two story house?
Two story.
Okay, well,
we're hiring somebody to do it.
Okay, well, with this Chomp, they go with a bucket and a pole, and you dip it in there, and it's like magic. Okay. If I could figure out a way to come up with something like this, like, you know, let's say you had a pimple on your face and you could just wipe it away with this, it would be amazing.
Okay, somebody had suggested wet and forget. Is that a big no?
It's not a big no, but a wet and forget, remember, a wet and forget takes time to work. And on an aluminum surface like that, what you're trying to eliminate, I don't know that wet and forget would be as effective. So wet and forget is not a product that, it immediately works, like it kills the organic material, but it takes time for that discoloration to go away, which is why, you know, when you read the bottle and you look at the wet and forget, it'll tell you, like, hey, in about 30 days, it's going to look amazing. And it does.
Okay.
Try this product, Chomp. I believe it's Chomp Gutter Cleaning Solution. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Lou. Love your show.
Thank you so much. Love you. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Joanne and Elgin. Hi, Joanne. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Lou. Thank good you to so talk much. To you. Love you.
How may I help you? Can you turn that radio down for me?
I did.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've got problems. Well, I don't know what the solution is. I have a ranch. I have the covered gutter.
Covers.
Covers.
Yep.
But at the on the roof, coming down the valley in the roof at the right angles on the house. I just get a terrible overflow. And right at the one section in the back of the house, it's right over the window wells to the basement. So if there's nothing, I put a garbage can there.
Oh my gosh!
To collect the overflow, that's how bad it is.
Yeah,
and I have no idea.
Well, and how
to remedy that, or who can help me?
That overflow, though, Joanne, is when you get a really heavy downpour, right? Under like a regular rain, it's not a big issue. Or no?
Well, what's, lately, everything is not regular anymore.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple things. There, it could be, even though you have the gutter covers, that maybe the downspouts are clogged. And maybe there's some debris or something that worked its way inside there that is causing the water not to be evacuated as quickly from the gutter, which is why you're getting a buildup and this overflow. So that's one thing. Secondly, on those valleys, so you've got this inside corner, right, where the gutters come into that valley is what we're speaking of?
Yes.
Many times what gutter contractors will do is they'll put a shield up there, almost like a backstop in front of the gutter, right where that inside corner is, that they'll cut out of a piece of aluminum that looks nice. And it's a way for when the water hits it, because it's coming down that valley at a rapid speed, it'll hit the water and allow it to splash back into the downspout area and or the gutter cover that you have. So I think that you've got two things going on here where you may need to have someone address the downspouts. And the other thing, too, is if they come and look at it and say, well, no, they're clean, there's no problem with it, the gutters,
which is what they've done.
Okay, so then maybe we need to add an additional downspout to get rid of the water quicker. So let me ask you this. Where the where the valley is where you put the garbage can, would it be possible to add a downspout close to that inside corner anywhere that wouldn't affect, kind of how you use the home or the area over there?
No, it's right by the entrance or the back entrance where the right angle is right there.
Okay, but and what if I, what a, if, what if, and so from that inside corner, where is the closest downspout? Like how many feet away, if you had to guess?
It's like a how many feet? I guess it's about 8 feet
away.
8 feet away, yeah.
On the one side of the where the corner is? What about on the other side?
Well, the other side, it's a real long run. The length of the house to the next downspout.
Okay, so on that other side, could I put another downspout somewhere?
Probably, but I... Because it's coming down that valley right there at that point.
Right. What I think is happening is that when you get a lot of water, the gutters are filling up. And in particular, on that long run, it just can't get rid of the water fast enough, which is why it's overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we add another downspout so the water gets out there faster, we get the water out of the downspout quicker, it should be, and you add this little shield that I'm speaking of, I think you'll be able to solve the problem.
Now, where would the shield go, Lou?
Okay, so imagine the inside corner of the gutter. When you're standing in there looking at that valley where the two gutters come in and they form that inside cover, inside corner, rather.
Okay, yeah, now the right angle there.
I'm looking at that right angle. Now, imagine on that little top part of the gutter, the shield is sticking up from there. So, like, if you can imagine the water coming down the valley, it's like, here I come, where now it goes right over the gutter. But if I had a little backstop right in front there, it would be a right angle as well, but it would be a shield that would catch that water and dump it into the gutter.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, right, yeah.
We just got
to
do it.
We had tried to put, like, diverters further up along the valley.
To slow it down, right.
No.
I think we need an additional downspout and that gutter shield, that gutter backstop, and I think you'll be able to solve the problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. Well, you know that the pandemic is over when the Manfredinis keep going out to dinner. Earlier this week, I went back to, you know, I grew up in Highland Park in Highwood, and we went to Highwood, which I have not been back to Highwood in a long time. When I was a kid, I ran up and down those streets all the time, and we went to this Venezuelan restaurant called, oh, I hope I get this right, Latitude, I think it's 315, Latitude 315. The food was excellent. You need a reservation. Lindsay, it's got you written all over it. You sit down at the table, they have thinly fried plantains with this little green sauce just to kind of start you off. I could have had just that, but all of the food was just really nice. The service was great. You need a reservation. Highwood was hopping. It was hopping.
What is it called again?
I hope I get this right. Latitude 315. And it's Venezuelan food, and it's in Highwood, and it's really good. I think I know it's latitude something or longitude. Latitude, longitude, 315. Was I right?
I think you're longitude 315.
Longitude. Well, it's one of the two.
Very
Longitude 315, and it's really, really good. So check that out if you're looking for a place to go to dinner. Really, really good. And then I ran in. We were walking up and down Highwood. We went down. My mother used to work at, there's a little coffee shop that's now called, I think, Sandy's Place, and it used to be called Virginia's. And when my parents first came from Italy, my mother was a waitress at Virginia's. And then I ran into Lenny, who owns Buffo's, which is a famous, you know, hot dog and Italian beef place that has been in business for 44 years. 44 years. God bless him. And still going strong. Nice to see these restaurants coming back. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Lisa in Villa Park. Hi, Lisa. You're on House Smarts Radio.
How are you, Luke?
I'm great. What's going on?
Question. I have to revent our dryer. And it's been suggested that they go through the wall, through the brick to the outside. And I just worry about the integrity of the brick structurally if we were to drill the vent out that way.
There's no structural issue to worry about drilling a hole in the brick wall.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be like a 4-inch hole or something like that that they're going to drill. And if they do it correctly, which, you know, I'm assuming you're going to hire somebody who knows what they're doing, that little round hole will have zero structural issue. The key with a dryer vent, Lisa, always is that the shorter the run, the better, right? So
right.
If it's a nice short run, your dryer will be more efficient and you'll get less lint buildup. All that stuff is good.
Okay. And now, assuming they should keep it, it's right next to a walkout, the basement walkout, which has a set of stairs. So they should keep it, you know, a couple of feet away from the door, correct?
Yeah, I mean, is that door, do you keep that door open regularly, or is it just an access to go in and out?
No, it's a full finished basement that we use frequently. So yeah, the door's open.
A couple feet away, if that would be great. You don't want it real close to that. I mean, and this is a gas dryer, correct?
Correct.
Right. Any combustible appliance, including your stovetop, does create some level of carbon monoxide. And so while it's low because it's super clean burning, you still want to try and eliminate that from coming into the house any way you possibly can. But the minute you introduce that into the outside air, it dissipates where you should have zero issue whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Great. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
You got it. Good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Judy in Elgin. Hi, Judy. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi. Hi, Lou. Long time listener, like everybody else.
Thank you.
We have a Bruce pre-finished engineered flooring on a cement slab. And in a couple of places, the floor has let go.
Right.
Is there anything you can do about that?
Well, I mean, it can be, the only way to fix it is you have to cut out those areas and then put in new floor and re-glue it down.
Okay.
And then that means, you know, the fact that it's a pre-finished floor, do you have any of the flooring left?
Just one little short piece. We're in a Del Webb house.
Oh, got it. So, I mean,
the whole entire, you know, everything except the bedrooms and the bathrooms are floor.
Right, right. So they can come in, pop up, cut out a few. They'll have to cut out more than one board to do this, mm-hmm. and then they would have to re-glue it. But then when you do that, you're going to end up refinishing the floor.
Okay, that's what I was afraid
of. So, I mean, it isn't, there is no easy way to, you know, to kind of fix that. That kind of buckling over time can occur. The glue can let up. You know, the floor is expanding and contracting. The concrete is, you know, changing temperature, all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure that, you know, your neighbors out in that community have probably experiencing the same thing.
Okay, all right. I was afraid that's what you were going to say, but I thought, well, maybe if there was a way to heat the top to make the glue reactivate.
No, nothing like that, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU is the phone number. That's also our text line. We'll do some text questions coming up after this report.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
It's so funny how we don't talk anymore.
You find yourself sometimes texting like these really long text messages, like really long, and then you're like, I should just call them, right? Like this morning, but this morning before I we went on the air this morning, last night we were going out, and our friends Kevin and Kristen live out in Colorado, and they're looking at buying a home. And he goes, hey, we're thinking about buying this home, and there's some issue with the plumbing, piping, blah, blah, blah. And he sends me like this report, and I couldn't look at it last night. And I go, well, let me take a look at it later on. Well, this morning, you know, I'm up very early preparing for the show. And so I'm... And I'm, you know, I looked at this report, and, you know, I can't call him at 5:30 in the morning. And I wrote out this text message that literally was like I was writing the beginning to War and Peace. And I'm going, and then you got to do this, and then you got to check this. And then when I get done writing the whole text message, I realize, I go, I guess I could have just waited to call you. Because this is a lot of information. And he goes, wow, that was a lot of information. I go, you're right.
But you know what? Now he can go back and refer to that information.
Well, he said
when
he goes to the house, then he's going to bring this up. One of the things is the house has radiant heat in the floor. And they used what's called PB piping, polybutyl piping.
Ah, the old PB.
The old PB. And it does not stand for peanut butter and jelly. They don't make PB anymore because PB was prone to leaking. Had a lot of issues with leaking. And so the report was like, oh, well, the fittings have all been changed and this and that. But what the dirty little secret about PB is it would just leak in the middle of the pipe. Like all of a sudden it would just be like oozing water. We don't want that. I don't want my friends having oozing water pipes.
No.
Right. Don't they know who they're dealing with?
PVC.
What?
They want PVC.
PVC would be better. Not PB.
See?
Yeah. That's not bad. But then there's a whole glycol thing. There's a whole bunch of things. I had all kinds of opinions on this at 5:30 in the morning, and I just reread the text message. I'm like, what was I doing? I could have just called. Anyway, do you have some text messages that are not that long that we
not
can
anymore? Well, to that. No, on that note, I do go to the ones that are shorter.
Good.
Because some of them, they will like send me these
texts. We got a text message of somebody who'll take your bird clock, too. This is like Tradio. We should do a whole thing where we get rid of your stuff. We could get the 1-800-GOT-JUNK people to sponsor it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your junk? Come pick it up. We've got junk in your trunk on House Smarts Radio, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
What is the formula for better drainage? You mentioned this before. So many inches of sand, gravel, and soil. Thanks for a great show.
Sand, gravel, and soil. Drainage. Are we talking about for patios?
I don't know, but I mean, it sounds like they want to know how many inches for better drainage. How much sand, gravel, and soil?
Okay, well, that's like a kind of a confusing question. I'm going to say that if we're talking about let's talk about just general drainage. If you're going to put it in the backyard, how about 3 inches of soil, 3 inches of sand, and then, 3 inches of gravel, 3 inches of sand, and then 2 to 3 inches of soil on top if you're going to put grass or any kind of landscaping on there. That's going to provide you with the best drainage, go through the soil, through the sand. The sand will help to aerate the soil up above, which will give you nice, healthy growth, in particular if we're talking about grass. And then the gravel will take the water and create almost like a plane for the water to sit at and then slowly get absorbed into the ground. So basically 3-3-3.
3-3-3.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Next. What do you recommend? My garage floor is pitting. What do you recommend I do?
The pitting, or the spalling as it's called, you want to try and patch that as quickly as possible because it will only continue to get worse. Clean the floor really well. Solution of 50-50 CLR and water with a scrub brush will do a great job, and then rinse it. And then once that dries, use a patching concrete over the top of it. One such product that I like is called Tintcrete, T-I-N-T, Crete. And they make that product in different sizes, and they also make it with to look like old concrete or new concrete, depending on the coloring. The older concrete tends to have more of a brownish tinge to it, and the newer one's a little bit more gray. So try that.
All right, and lastly, my daughter has metal stairs out the back door of her townhouse in Wicker Park. There's a gaping hole in the top step. I can't find anyone to repair it. Any suggestions as to who we can call?
Ooh, well, that's a tough one. A gaping hole in metal stairs. Where does she say that they live?
Wicker Park.
So I do know that there is a new handyman service that Ace Hardware is running called Ace Handyman Services. I wanted them to call it something else, but they didn't listen to me. And you could contact them, and they do work in the city. If you go to acehardware.com, you can locate the connection there to that. And they may be able to come up with some sort of patch. Maybe it's maybe it's as simple as a carriage bolt and some fender washers to kind of patch it all in. But if it's something more than that, where you have to replace the tread or something, then they may be able to refer you to a iron contractor, which that'll be a lot more involved than just a fix. That's it for Just Text Me, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Oh, line two is gone. There's nobody on line two, so we'll take line three, which is Marilyn in Hinsdale. Hi, Marilyn. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a quick question for you. I'm getting a lot of sewer smell in my laundry room, and some days I don't have it, and then other times it's very pungent. And I'm just wondering who I should call or what I can do.
Do you tell me about the laundry room? It's is it a first floor? Is it a basement? Where is it?
No, it's a first floor.
Okay, and is it like a room, like off the kitchen?
It's a room by itself.
It's a room by itself.
It's attached to the house, obviously.
And, right, it's not an outhouse. That's good.
No, it is
not. And do you know, and let me ask you one other thing. The floor in the laundry room is what?
A tile.
Okay. Do you know if you have a floor drain?
Well, it's covered now kind of a carpeting type thing.
I bet the sewer smell is coming from the floor drain that the water has evaporated because you have it covered with a rug. So remove the rug.
Okay.
Remove the rug. Take a little bucket of water or a cup, you know, even take 2 cups of water and pour it down the drain. And now we're going to refill that drain back up where the trap is. And I bet that's where the smell is coming from. Since you don't use this drain, then you can take, do you have any olive oil at home?
Yes, I do.
Extra virgin?
Well, I could check that out.
Well, it really doesn't. Oh, my God. It really doesn't matter. But then I want you to take a little half a cup of olive oil or vegetable oil or mineral oil, whatever you have, and pour it into the drain. Yeah. It'll make a little film on the top, and it will keep the water from evaporating, and then you won't have that smell.
That's a very strong possibility. And, you know, I think I remember before we did this, putting the carpet over there. It's not really a carpet. It's hard to explain what it is.
Right.
But I think if we remove that, I agree 100%.
Well, but here's the thing. It isn't really about the carpeting. It's the fact that nothing goes down that drain and the water just eventually evaporates. And so the oil will buy you some time. The other thing you can do is you can leave a little reminder that once every 3 months, you take a cup of water and throw it down the drain.
Oh, for goodness sake, so easy. Well, I was going to call, some plumbing company in there, and I'm thinking I'm just opening up a Pandora's box. So I thought I'd call you today, and thank you for your advice.
You're welcome. We just closed Pandora's box.
We did close Pandora's box. Yes, we did.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Lou.
You be well. I appreciate you calling this morning. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Let's talk with Dick, who's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Dick. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Lou, I'm replacing my furnace in my 2,000-square-foot single-level home. And because the furnace is quite old and the air conditioner is not quite as old, but it's 16 years old, and it's a 3-ton unit.
Okay.
I decided to replace the air conditioner along with the furnace. And I'm wondering, that the current 3-ton unit is working fine. It has no problems. It doesn't cycle on and off unusually often.
Right.
But the very knowledgeable salesperson that came says that I should have a 2.5-ton unit. Now, I'm wondering if the 16-year-old unit has been improved over the last 16 years so that I no longer need a 3-ton unit, which I have,
right,
and can replace it with a 2.5-ton unit. I don't want to undersize. I also don't want to oversize.
Right. So this is the secret sauce in all of this and sizing a unit correctly. It is true that the units are far more efficient, and they run smaller units are being installed to cover what was, an older unit that needed more. I mean, think about it. You know, Dick, it sounds like you've been around long enough. You remember the furnaces that used to be in the basement of a house that looked like a giant octopus, and they were cold fed, and then they, those things were giant to try and heat a home, and then all of a sudden they created this little bitty box that could heat the whole place, or they replace it with a boiler that's the size of a suitcase that, can heat the whole home. As long as they are doing the load calculation properly, I think that you're going to be fine. The issue there is I would get multiple bids so that you make sure that, everyone's being consistent on the pricing, and different pieces of equipment, certainly the name brand stuff, the Carriers, the Trains, the Lennox, these are all good models and good brands. I'm more concerned about who's going to install the product than the actual brand itself, because the labor and the knowledge that goes into putting it in is the most important thing, and sizing it obviously is very important too. So if their load calculations come in, you can check their math by, the next person coming in and saying, oh, yeah, no, you need a 3-ton or whatever. And you want to work with the person that you're most comfortable working with.
Got it.
Right.
So the efficiency improvement has been such over 16 years of the life of my current unit that
100%
it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah, you're going to be, I think probably they're quoting you a 13 SEER unit, which is the minimum SEER rating now.
You're absolutely right.
Right. Correct. So that is going to, and you can upgrade from there. Let me ask you this. Are you someone that uses air conditioning a lot or just when you need it?
We don't use it a lot, and I'm probably only going to be in this home another 4 or 5 years.
All right. So do the 13 SEER and you're fine. I mean, my recommendation always to people is if you're, you know, there's some people that have allergies and asthma where, you know, when the summer hits, they run that air constantly. I mean, Lindsay's house, she complains about the fact that they could hang meat. They could make money hanging meat in the house. It's so cold. That's where it pays to up.
I'm usually set at 78 degrees.
Yeah, so that's where you pay up for a higher SEER condensing unit outside there. But get a couple other bids. We have some fine sponsors on this show and on this radio station. Dykstra Home Services, Perfect Home Comfort, American Weathermakers, Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling. Between all of those, you can decide who you want to work with. And I know that they will give you a fair price and do a good job. And they have really good trained people to come in and size the unit correctly for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. And we're going to send out that hat to Phyllis, who's calling in from Wilmette. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Lou. It's good to talk to you.
How may I help you?
I have a Corian countertop in my bathroom. And I have a yellow stain on, it's a banjo type, and I have a yellow stain, which I believe came from the handmade ceramic dish that I keep there to put my contact lenses in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to get the stain out.
I want you to go to the hardware store and buy some 300 grit emery cloth and a green Scotch-Brite pad.
And a green?
Scotch-Brite pad.
Okay.
And in a circular motion, in a long, wide circular motion, not just where the stain is, you're going to lightly sand it with the emery cloth, first dry, then with a little water. And then as it starts to come out, you're going to go with the green Scotch-Brite pad, and you're going to blend it all in, and you're going to resurface the Corian right in that area. I don't want you concentrating right on the stain because you'll make a little divot. But Corian is a renewable surface, so that color that you have on the top, less the stain, goes all the way through. And you can literally buff this out of the top of that using that 300 grit emery cloth and the green Scotch-Brite pad. Thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you so much for listening. Lindsay for producing, Andy Mazur on sports, Don Kleppen on news, Bob Ferguson for being our traffic cop this morning and keeping us honest.